Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. For decades, I've been preaching about the importance of a regimen of basic supplements that everyone should consider part of their daily health routine. So I came up with an easy way for you to get the exact combination of targeted supplements you need to help you follow the intelligent medicine lifestyle. The very same supplements I take myself and prescribe for my patients. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com and check out my Intelligent Medicine Starter Kit. It's a short list of the basic supplements that I recommend as a starting point for those looking to take control of their health. They're the essential elements of a basic program that everyone could benefit from. And for a limited time, you'll get free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to DearHoffmanStore.com. That's DearHoffmanStore.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is my first podcast fresh back from the American College of Nutrition, whose theme was nutrigenomics this year. It's a fascinating area. I'm going to be blogging about that in our newsletter.
Terrific.
And in a two-part series, we'll talk a little bit about some of the horizons of nutritional therapy. I think there's a really, really exciting frontier. Yeah. Where we're going to be applying more and more sophisticated methods to personalize nutrition, not just generally, you know, broad-based interventions like, oh, eat a lot of fruits and vegetables, okay, got it. Eat fiber, okay, got it.
Yeah.
Don't eat junk, okay, got it. You know, but I think nutritionists can achieve more precision in terms of very targeted recommendations using some of the tools that are coming online soon.
Yeah.
It's not quite ready for prime time. And these tools are not yet cheap and available enough, but more and more nutritionists will have great tools. I just want to come back to the theme of ApoE4, because ApoE4 is a gene that approximately 3% of Europeans have. And it's found in approximately 70% of people who develop Alzheimer's before the age of 80. ApoE carriers account for 65% to 80% of all AD carriers and cases. And you can get that test done.
Simple blood test, right?
But do you want to know? I mean, it's scary if you find out, you know. But at least if you know, I'm all for knowing, then you can undertake preventive programs. So
exactly.
We talked about the effects of too much saturated fats and too much sugar and, you know, the grain brain approach to Alzheimer's risk. A couple of other things I want to throw in. Things that help clear amyloid protein. That's the sticky gunk that clogs up the brain.
But wait, first, that amyloid protein...
may be protective.
Are not just protective, they're part of the metabolism of the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And our brain needs to have the ability to clear it.
Mm-hmm.
Getting enough sleep, number one, can help to clear it.
Mm-hmm.
Not having blood sugar that's too high can help to clear it. It's part of the metabolism of the brain. And just the way our bodies restore and repair DNA and do that other, the brain has to be able to metabolize and get rid of that junk.
Right.
To be able to clear it. So it's part of the normal way the brain, it's part of the normal brain's metabolism.
It's like saying that, you know, when the firemen come and put water in the fire, that water is the cause of the problems. But let me just tell you, so just throw out some nutritional strategies from my notes on ApoE4.
Mm-hmm.
Ashwagandha, which is a traditional Ayurvedic herb. Sulforaphane, which is from broccoli.
Uh-huh.
I'm just going to throw them out, and you know, you can take notes if you want. In terms of natural things, lion's mane, which is a type of mushroom.
I'm hearing a lot about
very
lion's
interesting,
mane.
Interesting data on lion's mane.
Mm-hmm.
Stinging nettle, silymarin, curcumin, of course, curcumin, which has actually been subject to studies. Lion's mane, given in trials, 3 times a day, 500 to 1,000 milligrams, has been shown to improve mild cognitive impairment in Japanese seniors. So, you know, as I mentioned, sulforaphane, silymarin, or milk thistle, curcumin, so there you have some things, but, also, this ApoE4 depends on what other genes you have. Some other genes mitigate it, and some other genes make it worse.
Okay.
So.
There may be something to do with if you're a poor methylator, MTHFR. in that particular gene, that might be
yep,
a factor.
And then you need more B vitamins.
Yeah, you need
and more. We're going to talk, there's a question about B vitamins.
Yeah, yeah, as a matter of fact.
Yep.
First, we have this question from Jeff, however. Dr. Hoffman, what's the impact of Lipitor on vitamin K production in the body? Another vitamin K. But is there a danger that Lipitor may increase calcification in my heart? I have a high calcium score. I also take CoQ10. Should I consider taking vitamin K as well?
Definitely should take vitamin K whenever you're taking Lipitor, because Lipitor is aimed at plaque, and so too is vitamin K.
Yeah, yeah. In fact,
vitamin K2, that is.
Vitamin K2, exactly. Exactly. So Lipitor may increase calcification of the heart?
Statin drugs inhibit vitamin K2, according to some articles that I'm reading here.
So it's not able to bring that calcium back to the bones if you wind up being somewhat deficient.
Well,
this is a problem
because actually some studies have shown that Lipitor, while it does somewhat reduce the risk of heart disease. In people without heart disease, it's hardly worth it because you have to treat, I don't know, like 50 people to get one benefit, benefit. If someone has had a heart attack or bypass surgery, there's a fairly robust effect of lipid lowering.
But not great for primary prevention.
But you do see an acceleration of calcification. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if it's not due to vitamin K depletion. Mm. It's not clear why it is, but once you're on Lipitor, you don't really want to keep doing, people may want to do a vitamin D level every year or something, but don't keep doing a coronary calcium scan to see if you're getting worse, because you should just establish if you are at risk, and if you're not at risk, maybe do it again, 5 or 10 years later to make sure you're not at risk. But once you cross the Rubicon and you have calcium, you've got calcium.
Wow.
And I wouldn't use it as a report card, because it's not going to get better. I've not seen it get better, generally.
Is that a precursor, the calcification, to congestive heart failure?
Well, yeah, if you have a heart attack.
If you have a heart, yeah.
Or if you have ischemia, or if you have inflammation or a valvular problem or hypertension that's poorly controlled, you'll get heart failure. But it's not necessarily you can have
that, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what we're seeing a lot of is people who survived heart attacks, but their heart's weakened by the heart attack. And then they survive. And so we're seeing a decrease in people dying of heart attacks because of the new techniques to save people, but an increase in congestive heart failure because people live longer, they're older, they've already had damaged hearts, their hearts wear out.
Yeah. Could it also be that statins deplete CoQ10?
Yeah,
that's a factor, too.
Yes.
So that is definitely something. So yes, Jim, CoQ10 and vitamin K. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good point at which to pause, because we allow our sponsors an opportunity to share this vital message with you. So here goes.
This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Healthy Aging, providing you with the unique energy support of Pure NT Factor. NT Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. NT Factor from Nutritional Therapeutics repairs damaged cells and restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT Factor for years with a 45-day money-back guarantee of nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158. That's 800-982-9158. Or go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting our sponsors, because they're what make Intelligent Medicine a free resource to you. And they're very happy to reach such a well-informed audience of natural supplement connoisseurs as you. I know you're always looking for the latest breakthroughs in supplement research. Okay.
All right. We have a question from two different people about the same thing, from Michael as well as from Adrian. They're citing a study called giving high-dose vitamin B12 along with a modest amount of folic acid to older people was found to significantly increase the risk of colorectal cancer.
Now, by the way, that was not studying colorectal cancer. It was a study to see if the B vitamins would help osteoporosis,
yes,
if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, that's right.
So first of all, In science, when you find an off-target effect, it's not the subject of a study, it doesn't prove that effect.
Yes.
You know what? It's a hypothesis-generating thing.
Right.
So now they need to do more studies on that phenomenon itself. However, there have been previous studies which exonerate B vitamins and folate in colon cancer. Now, it's about colon cancer. And so why should B vitamins cause colon cancer? But this is a controversy. This is not new. This is a controversy that's been around in nutrition for at least a couple of decades.
Yeah.
It has to do with methylation. Now, methylation has a dual effect. It activates genes or it silences genes. It can be an on switch or an off switch, depending. Yeah. And what some studies have shown is that inadequate, especially folate, will increase your risk for certain cancers. And it's been shown in cervical cancer, possibly in colon cancer. On the other hand, if you have a cancer and you give a lot of B vitamins, you may promote the cancer. That's why with cancer survivors, they want to take a really potent multi or a B complex for energy or something. I said, don't do that because it's a potentially a growth factor. It might turn on the cancer.
Right.
So, you know, maybe 5 years out, I tell them not to take the B complex.
It's like when the antioxidant becomes a prooxidant.
In a sense, it's a duality. You know, I think if F. Scott Fitzgerald, you know, said that the test of a good intellect is the ability to hold two contradictory thoughts in mind at the same time.
Yeah.
And that's what you have with those nutrients.
Yeah.
Now, another flaw with the study is they used folic acid, which is the synthetic form.
Right.
Which is by and large the form that's used in most cheap vitamins.
Right.
And
in fortification of breads and cereals, folic acid is all over the place.
So I wonder if that would occur with the natural types.
Yeah.
You know, there's some concern that
if it was methylated, methylfolate or
5-methylfolate
or
leucovorin, folinic acid, you know.
Or if they were getting a comparable amount, 400 micrograms of folate from their food.
For their foliage, well, they'd get, who knows what the benefit would be, because it would be, that's not a clean experiment, because you get so many things. You can't isolate the folate in there.
You get the
fiber and you get the phytonutrients, you know. So, I mean, what am I going to say is, I don't think that people should stop taking their multis because it's going to give them colon cancer. I mean, if they've had colon cancer, if they've had adenomas or something, maybe they shouldn't.
Maybe they shouldn't. Exactly. That requires an assessment with people who are qualified to give you that assessment.
And it, you know, in the future, and this is part of this nutrigenomics thing, we will have maybe better tools to assess whether the folate is unmetabolized or it's creating a problem or that they have a very high predisposition genetically to colon cancer or there are other cancers and they shouldn't take it.
Very, very thoughtful questions. Thank you to Adrian and to Michael for sending this to us. Okay. We have from Lori, dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, could this EcoPhage product be as miraculous as described? Always appreciating the light you share, helping us be our healthiest selves. And this is actually from the from Donna Gates, the Body Ecology Diet. And apparently this EcoPhage product is supposed to be targeted for IBS, for SIBO. It's bacteriophage in a bottle.
Okay.
Which supposedly selectively targeting specific harmful bacteria while leaving beneficial bacteria behind to flourish.
Well, what is it actually?
It's bacteriophage.
It's live?
Well, I don't know that it's live. They're not actually saying that.
No, because a bacteriophage is a virus.
Yeah.
A virus that attacks certain bacteria.
Our newest phage product is like a superpower cocktail, aiding everything from digestive health to heart health.
I think it's it's a bacteria that suppresses certain bacteria.
Yeah.
I don't know much about it, I got to say. It's a certain species called Myoviridae, which are you know, they basically, you know, phage means to eat. So,
phage means to eat.
So they eat, the ecophage yeah. wipes out pathogens, cleans up gut. It's a little over-simplistic, in my opinion. Maybe, you know, rush to judgment a little too soon. I don't see the clinical trials here.
Yeah.
You know, there probably is some science at the heart of this,
mm-hmm.
but it says supports SIBO, IBS, and UTI recovery. It eats up all the bad bacteria, but what if it eats up the good bacteria? I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. They're saying that this product, this bacteriophage product taken in conjunction with a probiotic
mm-hmm.
can help with the beneficial microbiota to
right.
survive and to flourish.
It, you know, usually big developments like this, I see on the horizon.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't seen this yet.
Yeah. Which is interesting. I'm looking at some of the references here.
A bacteriophage is a virus, actually.
Mm-hmm.
They are viruses that attack bacteria, and they actually are part of our healthy microbiome because they can combat
yeah.
pathogens.
Yeah.
You know, they're good viruses.
Yeah. Let me cite some of the references here from
sure.
this body ecology product. Phages as antibacterial agents, laboratory training in developing countries. That's number one.
Yeah,
that
sounds kind of weak. What's
yeah.
the journal?
The journal is, let's see, researchgate.net.
Hmm.
You're not telling me there.
Yeah, that's just a portal.
Yeah, that's just a portal. Another is biofilm and wax moth. Certain models reveal new insights into therapeutic potential.
For wax moths?
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's...
Of C. diff bacteriophages. Frontiers in Microbiology is another one.
Well, let's hear it for wax moths.
Yeah.
Because I really want them to, I mean, there's a real breakthrough in wax moth
yeah.
health.
Phage treatment in human infections.
There we go.
In bacteriophage.
That's more theoretical, probably.
That's yeah. more, yeah. Yeah. Let's see.
So there, you know.
Yeah. There could be something. Bacteriophage therapy, a regulatory perspective, Journal of Antimicrobial Chemotherapy, a probiotic enhancing prebiotic, bacteriophage cocktail mice clinical trials.
Well, it sounds like commercialization of a promising area.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's ready for prime time.
Let's see how that turns out.
Are there clinical trials using this product in the treatment of these conditions, IBS, urinary tract
these,
infections?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I like to
yeah,
see. I'd like,
that's to
what
see, we'd like to see.
I mean, you know, the theory is nice, but I'd like to see clinical trials that show that there is a reduction in the frequency of the UTIs or a reduced symptom index in irritable bowel syndrome or something
yeah.
along those lines.
Yeah. That would be nice to see.
Yeah.
So, Laurie, let's wait for that. Let's wait for that to see if anything like that comes along to support
and, you know,
the use of this type of
product. I look at the website. Also,
they're
kind of couched in unscientific terms. It says, learn how to master your health, overcome illnesses, lose weight, balance your hormones, improve happiness, and
more. This is a magic pill.
I mean, I want in.
I want
that.
In too.
Because
everybody
you know,
wants that. Yeah. Golly. Oh, yeah.
But I think it's part of a program, Body Ecology. And Body Ecology has, you know, it's really
mm-hmm.
robust reputation.
Mm-hmm.
They have, you know, 6 modules of education with 10 hours of video content. And, you know, part of the program is the this product.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Laurie, thank you for that question. We have, there's about another study, Dr. Hoffman, but you're going to have to... Correct. You're going to have to correct Marianne.
Damage control
You're
department.
A little damage control today.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
So Marianne writes, hi, Dr. Hoffman. I tried to Google the study you recently cited regarding vitamin D levels and prostate cancer outcome. I was going to show it to my husband's doctor, but there were no links attached to the podcast. And I didn't find the study, but I came up with one, and I wondered what you thought.
Well, look, you know, I'm not the world's expert on Google,
mm-hmm.
and I Googled prostate cancer vitamin D, and here's what I come up with.
Mm.
Vitamin D in prostate cancer. Higher intake improves active surveillance outcomes.
Yeah.
So that's good.
That's good.
That's good.
That's
so
good.
What they found in this study, and you're going to show me another study that contradicts that, I know, in a minute, but after 1 year, more than half of the participants in the active surveillance group demonstrated improvements on the vitamin D regimen. The group concluded the men with low-risk prostate cancer undergoing active surveillance might derive benefits from taking 4,000 international units of vitamin D per day. Mm. Okay?
Yeah.
Now you're going to show me something that tells me no.
Yeah. Well, here's the title of this is Chinese study links high vitamin D levels to greater risk of prostate cancer. But here's the problem with this study.
Yeah.
It's a correlation study. A high concentration of the major circulating form of vitamin D.
Well, the other one was better because it was an intervention study.
Yes.
They took people, they gave them 4,000
vitamin
D.
Right, right. So this is a correlation, correlates with the high risk of prostate cancer, found researchers at First Hospital of Jilin University in Changchun, China. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. So this is not a very powerful or rigorous study because it's correlation. Correlation is not causation.
Well, also, what's the size of the study?
Didn't say.
Of course, in China, they have a lot of people sometimes.
Yeah, and I was not able to access the actual study.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, not a great study, Marianne, because it's correlation.
I think most of the studies are trending towards the protective effects of vitamin D in prostate cancer.
Yes, yes. To give another example of correlation, just to bring some truth to the whole matter in science of why this does not work. Would you agree, Dr. Hoffman, that since the 1970s, the amount of people eating organic foods has increased?
Yes.
But the amount of people diagnosed with cancer has also increased.
So, yeah, and by the way,
and it's got nothing
in certain areas of the country, cancer is eclipsing heart disease now. It used to be when you ask this question, what are the leading causes of death in America? It used to be
heart disease,
stroke, cancer. Then it became heart disease, cancer, stroke. Now it's like
cancer's
eclipsing. Yep. But so here's another possibility is in China, they don't drink much milk.
Mm-hmm.
But more and more they're getting milk. And milk is a source of vitamin D, and sometimes it's fortified with vitamin D. And it may be that this is a marker for milk consumption among Chinese.
Yeah.
And or maybe sun exposure, that could create some certain cancers, skin cancers anyway.
Right.
I don't know what they...
Not to mention the IGF-1 that milk will promote.
Yes.
Which is correlated to cancer.
Yes.
So,
For example, there are some studies that, it's not entirely clear, but link dairy consumption to the risk of prostate cancer in men.
Yes.
Which is one of the more common cancers.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's interesting. So correlation does not equal causation.
Yeah.
Marianne, but vitamin D has been shown to have so much benefit across a spectrum of cancers as well as other ailments.
Yeah.
For at least 15 years now.
And I bet you that in that study, the vast majority of people were what we would consider suboptimal in vitamin D. They might say, the people who didn't get cancer, their average vitamin D was 22, but the people who did get cancer, their vitamin D was 26.
Mm.
Right. They're basically mucking around in the basement of vitamin D.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know from what I see in that report.
Yeah. They need to come up to the first floor and the second floor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quick question do we have? We can squeeze one more in.
A quick question. Yes, we do. And this is from Josie. Dear Dr. Hoffman, I've been using strontium support to increase my bone density.
Mm-hmm.
The amount
it's from AOR. That's
AOR.
A Canadian
she
company.
Yeah. She mentions that. The amount per capsule is 341 milligrams. In the past, the instructions were for 2 capsules per day.
Which would be correct. I think we need about 650.
Yeah. Yeah. We need about 650. So the instructions now are for 1 capsule per day, but I'm unable to find out why the drastic change. So it should be about 600 milligrams a day.
Mm-hmm.
If the manufacturer changed its dose and is telling you how much to take, be reminded that the typical dose for strontium is about 600 a day.
I mean, the effective dose, in my opinion.
The effective dose, yes.
And I don't know, maybe it's in an abundance of caution that the manufacturer said, we want to make sure that we're erring on the side of caution. And usually these instructions appear on the bottle, but if you see a professional nutritionist is free to utilize their judgment to tell you to take a different level.
Absolutely.
So you don't necessarily follow always the bottle directions. I mean, they're general guideline, but...
Exactly. But for more an in-depth look up into supplements in your particular situation, you want to consult with a qualified nutritionist.
Right. Yeah, and, you know, maybe you don't need strontium. Mm-hmm. You know, you could benefit from... I mean, strontium is... I think it promises has a drug-like effect. It's given at a dose much higher than the strontium you'd find in food. Yeah. So it is really, it's more of a pharmaceutical effect of strontium. And you know, we don't want everybody to take massive doses of strontium. They don't need it necessarily.
Right.
But, you know, if you have osteoporosis, it's an alternative to some of the medications with worse side effects and problems.
Oh, totally. Yes.
All right.
Thank you for your question, Josie.
And, yeah, great questions today and then prompted lively discussion. I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you, Layla, for doing a little background research on some of these issues and helping us along today.
It is my pleasure, and thank you to everyone for listening and sending their questions.
Yes, radioprogram@AOL.com. Keep those questions coming, and we'll keep on dishing with future editions of the weekly Q&A with Layla. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.